listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Often it can be difficult to tell the difference in a film that is using dream logic to tell its story between one that is trying to get at a deeper meaning underneath and one that's just because one time this dude took way too many drugs and this is the weird shit he thought of. I'm not 100% sure on this particular one, Dreamland, but I suspect it falls into the latter camp.
No argument there for me.
That doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing. I mean, there's certainly lots of films that I've really enjoyed that are just madcap and surreal insanity, and this is less surreal than some of those. But sometimes it can be a bit frustrating, and certainly not every piece of art is for everyone. I get the feeling Jordan has already planted her flag on the stand of which beach that she stands on, that's for sure.
I honestly don't know, even though my 5-page of notes just repeats, what the hell is this? This is the first time in my short time here on the site I'm wondering, is this worth it?
Wow.
No, not that bad. It's not that bad. That was Scoop.
I was going to say, get ready for plenty worse, because this is a high point for films that make you scratch your head this year alone. We've also got, joining me, of course, was Jordan there. Got Ray.
Hello.
Hello, Ray. And we've got Adrian.
Hey, it's Adrian. That's me, Adrian.
Wait, who is it?
Jordan.
No, that's my name.
I'm already confused. Not as confused as I was with this movie, but I'm still confused.
Will the real Spartacus please stand up already? But this movie is directed by Bruce McDonald. Kids in the Hall have a Bruce McDonald, right? But it's not the same guy.
No, but that would be a completely different movie.
Yeah, although that guy does also make surreal films, for the record. But this dude, also a Canadian, but they're always getting mixed up with each other, who previously directed his star-playing dual role, Stephen McCaddy, in the film Pontypool in 2008. The writer of that and the book, because that was, believe it or not, based on a novel, co-wrote this script along with another guy, Patrick Whistler. I believe this was also based on a book by the writer of Pontypool and the script of this. I can't imagine what a novel of this would look like, quite frankly. But Stephen McCaddy, who I did desperately love as an actor, I think he is just one of the most expressive, cool guys working out there. He plays Johnny Deadeyes. He's a hitman. He walks around with long hair and a trench coat. He works for Hercules, played by Henry Rollins, who is a criminal overlord and has recently expanded his enterprise to kidnap and pimp out children to rich men, which is something that Johnny Deadeyes finds immediately pretty distasteful, as you might imagine. He's kidnapped one of Johnny's neighbors. He encounters the little boy saying, they took my sister, sold them to the Countess, played by an unhinged Juliet Lewis, who is giving the child to her brother as a child bride, who is also, for no reason I could discern, a vampire. But Stephen McCaddy is also playing another character who is a junkie trumpet player that Hercules was a huge fan of, but got really upset when he discovered that the said trumpet player had no idea who he even was or what his name was, and so decided to teach him a lesson of humility and respect by getting Johnny Deadeyes to find, track him down, and cut off his finger. Now, Johnny Deadeyes actually kind of respects him for being a musician, I guess, is the best I could get out of that, and says, I don't want to do this. I kill bad people. I don't do shit like this. He tries a variety of plans to basically not get in trouble with Hercules and also not have to take this guy's finger as it goes along. But that is really just a weird subplot. The story is really not that different from, and I didn't even think about this, someone else had to point it out to me, to the movie You Are Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix from like 2 years ago. Like, oh, a hitman who's like very kind of sad and confused about if he wants to be doing what he's doing anymore, basically finds himself on a mission to protect children that are being kidnapped and sold. Except that movie felt like it was made by someone on heroin. This one feels like it was made by someone on PCP.
Well, I was on mushrooms when I saw it, and I was not. I'm fine.
That would be an interesting like control group. Next time you should do that.
I didn't even really want to mention the fact that one of the characters is a vampire.
Me, is he a character?
Is he a vampire? Or I don't know. He was running around during the day, but he's got weird shoes. I don't know.
Tip of the iceberg, this movie is a satire that feels like it was all created because the director and the writer are really angry at the idea of this international pedophile ring that you hear with like people like Jeffrey Epstein and stuff like that. And it's like, this is what I would like to happen to this group of people. It goes into so much. It goes into existentialism. There are groups of characters that you're really not sure why they fit that purpose. There is a confrontation between a wife and her husband that doesn't go anywhere. For people who are upset with movies that give too much exposition, this is like, hey, you figure this out.
I would have loved more exposition. And you brought up Bruce McDonald's previous film. Like, when you put up the call to see who it reviewed as, you said, what was it called again?
Pontypool. Yeah,
you know what? I think I'll just dive headfirst. Never heard of Bruce McDonald. Don't know what this past movie is. So you know what? I'll just watch his latest one and see if that's a good jumping in point. I'm definitely more curious now as to his other films. I'm still working out my feelings on this movie. There's a lot I don't like, but there honestly are a lot of things I also do like. The best way I can describe this movie is like a really weird, psychedelic, neo-noir, like maybe McDonald saw Inherent Vice and thought, oh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool to do.
Yeah, definitely connections to that, or Under the Silver Lake, or yes, even exactly, even to some degree, the Big Lebowski or something like that. I mean, there's the feeling of these being influences, but there's so much going on here that doesn't seem to add up to a hill of beans, as it were. Unlike Pontypool, which, like I said, is such a different type of movie. Pontypool is a one-man show, basically. It's super tight. Everything makes sense in it. It's really disturbing. It's incredibly well written. It's like, you can't believe this is by the same guy, quite frankly. It's like, wow, this guy
has... It's more accessible, too.
Oh, yeah, considerably more, despite the fact this being wider ranging. I kept thinking of Southland Tales when I was reading this, because it felt like it had that kind of crazed energy that you're like, you've got all the verve to make the movie, and you've got this vision, but you have not even come close to making it tie together to mean anything. Why are we watching this? There's lots of stuff that hint there's some kind of underlying meaning, but it's obscured to the point way past any detection. There's something about duality, clearly. McHattie playing two performances, and at one point he says, as a hitman to the boy, we start out a bunch of people as we end as one. And there's other things about that as well, but none of that really seems to come together to mean anything. Why is there a duality thing there? Why is Hercules' club called Al-Qaeda?
For me, this movie actually does make sense, unlike Southland Tales, which is so far up its own ass, it goes inside out.
That's all right.
I fucking hate that movie. Why is the club named Al-Qaeda? Why is there a fucking vampire here?
Who's seeking virgin blood?
And why does this pawn shop owner want to kill her husband? Why does he say, yeah, I deserve it? I kind of want to know a little bit more about that.
Oh, I so wanted to know about that.
You're going, that's got to be a metaphor for something, right?
Yeah, explore that shit.
I'll be damned if I could figure out what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but it's like, no, we only got 92 minutes. was like, I'd actually appreciate 10 more minutes just to work that out.
Disjointedness of the film. I mean, there are, you're right, there are so many things to like. It's well shot. It looks gorgeous. You've got some really good performances. But then you've got all the things that you mentioned, Jordan, and none of it comes together at the end. That's my word for this film, was just disjointed. And I wish something had met in the middle. I don't need it spoon-fed to me, but I need a little more.
I watched this movie twice. Once yesterday and once today.
On mushrooms?
Sober both times.
Damn it.
I should have been on cough syrup.
Sort of half-watched it today to see if I missed anything. I do want to give it some high notes because there are things about it, like Jordan mentioned, that are really cool and I would say worth watching. Stephen McHattie has always been a fantastic character actor. And to see him in the lead again, I feel like he really carries this movie.
Absolutely.
Because the dialogue's not the best, but he has good delivery. He's incredibly charming. Both of the characters that he plays definitely feel like two different people. There's even a part where I'm pretty sure that's him singing at the end. And if so, that's adorable. I love that.
I totally agree. McHattie owns this movie. I also weirdly just... also really like Henry Rollins, especially his first interaction with the vampire. I'm sure he has an actual character name. I'm just going to call him fucking Vampire. I feel like Rollins knew exactly what type of movie he was in and just went with it.
See, I can't go with you on Henry Rollins, who I do like. I think Henry has definitely had problems in some films with showing he doesn't have a huge amount of range as an actor, but sometimes the part is exactly right for him. And a lot of times that depends on working with the right director and writer. There's a film, I think it's on Netflix, where he plays this immortal character who's been trying to find a reason to go on. That's great. I'm blanking on the name of
it. They Never Die or something
like that. Yeah, something like
they
that.
Didn't Die.
Yeah, it's really good. And Rollins is fantastic in it. And he's the whole film. It is about him. Here, it felt like a guy who was dying for someone to give him some direction. Because you're like, yeah, just act crazy. Okay, what kind of crazy? But ultimately, he didn't really bring a lot here other than screaming like he was in Black Flag again.
I see what you're saying, but no. I love Henry Rollins in this. I thought he was so much fun. Now, keep in mind, I have not seen him in another movie, at least not to my mind. I've never seen him act before. I thought for this character, he was so outrageous and cartoony that it felt like there's no way this isn't on purpose. Everything in this movie feels like, okay, there's some kind of other reason why this is happening. And I feel the same way about the performances in the movie, including Henry Rollins. I feel like he's the comic relief. Every line he says is pretty funny.
Unfortunately, I'm with Chris on this one. I've seen him in other things where he's been much better. I didn't get him in this movie. I thought he was overdoing it one second and underdoing it the next. And just, I thought he was as uneven as most of the rest of the film.
Yeah, he's uneven without ever transcending a sort of generic gangster role into doing something interesting or different with it. He's reading the script in a Henry Rollins style, but Henry Rollins has a very nice style. He's naturally charismatic. I have no question of that. Equally weird is this character gets introduced kind of later in the film more, named Lisa, who seems to be really important in the third act as she comes in and like helps out. She also was an actress who was the kind of the second main actress in Pontypool, played by actress named
is
Lisa.
Is she the one that Johnny talks to at the bar often?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then she leaves for the whole, middle of the film and then comes back all of a sudden.
Yeah, she comes back and you've forgotten about her. You're like, wait, who is that?
I've forgotten about her until this moment. Until you guys just literally brought her up a second ago.
And yet the movie treats her like she's a really important character in the end. And you're like, who the fuck was that? Well, guys, let's go to final thoughts, guys and girls. Ray, why don't you get us started?
It's funny. I kind of echo what each one of you said. I think it is disjointed, just so disjointed. And that's the problem. It needed cleaned up. It needed maybe another editor to look at it. I'm not sure. It falls apart in the end for me, but there are some very good things about it while you're watching it. Stephen McHattie in the lead roles is the thing that if he wasn't as good as he is, there would be nothing really to like about this film, I don't think. When I first started watching it, you're right. He gives performances that are different enough that it took me half a second to realize he was playing both characters because I hadn't looked this up on IMDb or anything before I watched it. That is my bright spot in this above all. bright and shining Stephen McCaddy. His first role was in 1970. And if you look at his career, I mean, he's got 300 roles.
I've been thinking about this. He's like a cross between Harry Dean Stanton and Sid Haig. If you mashed those two people together, you still wouldn't get Stephen McCaddy, but that's about as close as I could see. In terms of, to some degree, his performances, his appearance, but to a bigger degree, just the way his career has gone. But Ray, what was your rating?
I have two. If we stay on Stephen McCaddy, then I have 10 out of 10 underrated actors. But for the film as a whole, it's 5 out of 10 strange daywalking vampires.
Jordan.
Also, Juliette Lewis was in this movie.
We did mention that. We said that.
Sorry.
She just doesn't do much of note.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of those few times. No, I want 10 more minutes. Please give me more exposition. I would like to know some things. As good looking and also well scored this movie is, you know, and McCaddy delivering a tour de force performances and honestly getting some good laughs out of Henry Rollins, is a disjointed movie. It's just not compelling enough. I just was dumbfounded throughout the movie, just going, what the hell is this? What is going on? I will say it certainly has made me a little bit more interested in checking out Bruce McDonald's filmography in a good way, because I want to see is like, okay, is there going to be more of this? I don't.
Anybody makes a film this weird, definitely, even if I don't like it, makes me go, what else did you do?
Yeah, exactly. I feel compelled now after this. Does that mean I'll probably give Dreamland another watch after I've consumed the rest? I honestly don't know. This movie's confused all over the place. And I kind of like trippy, psychedelic noir stories, like a noir narrative that plays with your mind, but there are honestly way better examples. So I'm going to give this 4 extremely angled close-ups of Stephen McCaddy out of 10.
All right, Adrian?
Throughout the review, I realized I clearly like this more so than you guys did. From the moment it starts, I really love Stephen McCaddy's performance. As we say, he's always great, and he's so energetic in this. He completely commands the film. I like everyone else. Henry Rollins, I thought was hilarious. Juliette Lewis is in the film.
That's your note. Juliette Lewis, looking for something to say about her performance, is in the film.
I also like the actor who played the vampire. He's a character actor who's been in stuff like Snowpiercer, and I thought he was fun in this too.
And the new Blade Runner.
I was really liking the stuff that it was doing with its shots. I was liking that it was trying to be artsy and avant-garde and make you think about existence and like, oh, are we multiple people? Like, I like that line. It's kind of a cheesy line, but I dig it. I was enjoying the hell out of this. And then the climax came. This movie turned into something that let you think, kind of like let you put your own spin on what the meaning might be. And then the climax comes and it's like, oh, that's what you meant the whole time. All right, sure, cool. And it's kind of disappointing. It's also, for every weird, ridiculous thing that happens, the climax is so cartoony that it feels inappropriate in a way. It feels like they were trying to do a joke and it fell flat. And that really brought the movie down for me. But overall, I'd still say it's worth one watch. Especially if you're not used to movies like this. If you like movies like Under the Silver Lake, you might dig this. I give this 3.5 cut pinkies out of 5.
All right, so I'm the guy who loved Under the Silver Lake. I think I gave it like a 9 out of 10. I think it's one of the most perfect cult films since, I don't even know when, since like Repo Man. I'm going to be watching this movie for the rest of my life once every year or so because I think it's that level of just brilliantly insane. This is just insane. I didn't see much brilliance. There's a lot of little touches of coolness throughout this movie. I watch Stephen McCaddy all day long. And any movie that at least has, if you're paying attention, you can detect what is happening in the story to watch. I mean, as long as you have an idea of what the narrative is, I'm okay. I'll be all right. I'm not going to get bored based on the surrealism. It's only those that get so surreal that you literally have no clue what's happening at all that I'm like, guys, what are you doing? This is an art film that should be shown at like a museum for like 20 minutes, not an hour and a half movie. Or as they often are, 2.5 hour movie. This is an hour and a half movie, which was the right decision because this could not have been much longer. I mean, Jordan, I would have liked more explanation too, but it would have meant and would have been, I would have been okay with cutting some other stuff out of the film. This is another film though that I suspect is going to have its serious fan base, that there's going to be people out there this is going to really appeal to. I'm just one of those people who watched it and went, I'm having a good time watching this movie overall. I'm starting to get tired when it gets to the third act, going, okay, guys, I think it's time to wrap this up. Overall, a movie I can say I'm glad I saw it. I probably will never come back to it again. I mean, you never know. Weirder things could happen. I think it was definitely worth a watch for people like me who really like watching people mess with experimental cinema, but also understand that we need to have a narrative that is at least 80% understandable. And that is more or less what this is. Even if you didn't know, you may have known what was going on, you just didn't know why. But I'm going to give this a 5.5 out of 10 dismembered fingers.
I was mainly focused on how often the camera was all up in McCaddy's face.
It was lots of close-ups, that's for sure. And that is an old, craggy face for that many close-ups.
Yeah, I was just like, did you forget to moisturize that day? Or did you just wake up from a bender?
Dude, that's a face that's never seen moisturizer.